Praise be to God.
You know, the Lord has just been putting on my heart a couple of things that we lose sight of sometimes.
Well, we lose sight of a lot of things sometimes. Amen?
One of the things I want to share with tonight is called the present evil world.
Hallelujah.
The present evil world in which we live in.
You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, things are getting better.
Well, you're deceived.
Let me tell you something. It's not going to get better.
It's not supposed to get better. It's supposed to get worse.
So you can be praying all you want. Oh, Lord, make the world better. It's not gonna.
That's not according to His Word.
You can pray for all the peace you want. There ain't going to be no peace.
You can pray to stop the wars, and the wars are not going to stop.
I don't care what you pray. It's not the will of God.
You pray for salvation, peace within you, peace within your people, but there will not be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace comes.
Amen.
He's the only one that's going to put everything in order.
Amen.
He's the only one that's going to do it. So in the meantime, you and I are living in a present evil world, and it's going to be evil, and it's going to get worse, and your fight's going to get harder, not easier. So what your fight was yesterday is more difficult today. So that means we have to get in the spirit even more than what we were yesterday. Because the devil is seeking whom he can devour. And that's according to the Word. He's waiting for someone to eat. And he loves Christians. Prime rib to him. In Galatians chapter 1.
Hallelujah.
Is everybody cool enough?
Don't breathe too heavy. You'll be all right.
Hallelujah. You know, we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. And the reason why we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel is so that the Prince of Peace comes. Because there cannot be peace there. People are waiting for peace in Jerusalem and Israel. Forget it. It ain't going to happen until Daddy comes. Amen? You know what I'm saying? We're to be praying for not only their peace, but for salvation for them. Salvation. They need to get saved.
Glory to God. In Galatians chapter 1.
Hallelujah. In verse 1. Would you read it with me?
Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men. Isn't that wonderful? But through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me.
Now listen, let me share something with you. He says, I'm Paul the Apostle, not from men, nor through man. You know why? Because when he was a Pharisee, he realized it was from man, not from God. They had a form of religion. They had knowledge, but they couldn't walk in it. Paul was coming against one of the most precious commandments that he was supposed to obey. Thou shalt not kill. But he actually thought he was killing for God because he was deceived. Amen? So he said, listen here. Now, Paul's name used to be Saul. He said, now I'm Paul, no longer from man, but from God. I'm no longer a voice of man nor the will of man, but I am the voice of God and the will of God. There's a difference. No longer through man, but through God. And he says, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom he be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he was talking about this present evil age, or this present evil world that you and I are in. And he said that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, because we have a choice. Delivery is available, but you have to want it. In fact, salvation is available to every man on this earth, isn't it?
Amen.
Not everybody's going to get it, because they don't want it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for every man on this earth. Not everyone's going to get it because they don't want it. Tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick is available for every single one on the earth. Not everyone's going to get it because they don't want it. They don't believe it, or they're not willing to receive it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Let's go on. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, these were people that were walking with the Lord, believing, baptized in the Holy Ghost, believing Paul and the gospel of truth that was freeing them, and they began to turn away. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a what?
Different
gospel. Wow. You know, Paul warned us, he said, many will come preaching the same gospel, but it'll be another Jesus, because they won't tell the whole truth.
Let's go to verse 7.
Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So he says, which is not another. Another what? Gospel. It's the same gospel, but they're twisting it around and perverting it. They're preaching a different Christ. He said, who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, Christ means anointed one and his anointing. Everybody got it? Because the one thing the devil doesn't want you to have is the power of the Holy Spirit. He don't mind if you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, sit there, twiddle your thumbs, and walk in sin. Because at the end, you're going to hell, unless you can walk upright. But if you're a sinner, without repentance, you're going to hell.
And verse 8,
But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow, now isn't that what the devil wants us to get? See, sin causes a curse. Curse brings the wrath of God. In verse 9, hallelujah. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, would not be a bondservant of Christ. We got to understand this. He's talking about this present age and the deception. Even the Bible tells us that Satan's ministers will come as righteous ministers. So it's our responsibility to know what we're hearing. Has everybody got it? It's our responsibility. Now you got to remember something. The Spirit's always trying to bring something. The wolf is always trying to take something. Oh, hallelujah. So we see because of this present world, which is evil, it is wicked and evil. And it is getting worse, not getting better. Because the big fight that we're involved in right now is between the will of God and the will of man. That's the fight. The will of God and the will of man. Because this gospel has been preaching for 2,000 years now. And things are still not getting better. The world's not getting better, is it? Now people are getting rescued from it, aren't they? But the world isn't changing. But there are souls being saved. And the world isn't going to change. It's going to continue to get worse. It's supposed to. Until it's finally reached its climax so that the return of Christ will come. But there is his body that is holding back the powers of darkness right now. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So Paul was bringing warning to the believers that to be a man pleaser is trouble, than to be a God pleaser is glory. Amen? So we see that there are two forces of opposing spirits. And we know that there is the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So he expresses about the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. And that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Then what he's saying is if you don't get in the spirit, you won't get the things of the spirit. You won't know the things that are freely given to you. Let's go to the next verse. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Doing what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So now he's talking about not man's wisdom, which is the spirit of the world, but the wisdom that comes from the throne room of God, known as godly wisdom. Go to 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now he's explaining that there are the spirit of the world, which is in the natural man. Hello? He cannot get the things of the Spirit of God. And you've got to also understand that you could have the Spirit of God and choose to reject the Spirit of God and listen to the spirit of the world again. Amen. And the devil has access to you all over. Now, there are many people who believe, well, wait a minute, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit will not dwell with a demon. Well, that's ridiculous. Then why do people go astray? Why do people have to get prayed for? I mean, I cast more devils out of believers than unbelievers. And we have a whole teaching on that, but I'm not going to that tonight. So yes, a believer can have a demon and become demon-possessed if they allow it. And I've seen it happen. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Well, then, wait a minute. If somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he doesn't get the things, amen, and he doesn't get the things of the Spirit, then what's happening? Because he's not birthed yet. Because the mind of Christ hasn't been manifested yet. And it's only done through the Spirit. That's why it's so important to get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Jesus was learned, wasn't he?
Amen.
Now let me share this with you. There's so much garbage out there, it's ridiculous. In other words, you can't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless you've been baptized in water first.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I never got baptized in water first. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with tongues. I was going around laying hands on sick, casting out devils and everything. Then I got baptized in water because I knew it was right before God. But I didn't get baptized in water before I got the Holy Ghost, man. But I realized that by getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Word became food to me. It became real. I began to see supernatural things through the Word of God. Something began to happen to me. Because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference. That's why there's a difference of walking in the Spirit and not walking. That's why there's a difference between a carnal Christian and a Spirit-filled Christian. You try and, you know, I went into a store one time, and I was looking for a Bible, and it was a Christian store, and somebody had shared with me about a Spirit-filled Bible. And I said, do you have a Spirit-filled Bible? Oh, man, the guy got real nasty with me. I obviously I could smell that he wasn't Spirit-filled. He got going, well, there ain't no difference between the Spirit-filled and that. I said, whoa, brother. What's that demon not only on your back, but in your breath? You know? So anyways, you know, I could tell right away that something wasn't right here. You know? And we also have to understand that there is a difference between being saved and born again, and we have a teaching on that. Because there's a difference of being birthed than just getting saved. Saved is a representation of conception. Being birthed is a representation of new creation. But you know, we don't hear that preached. We don't hear enough about that. And one thing we have to do is allow that seed of God that's been imparted in someone when they get saved to get into a birthing place where they can get birthed by the Holy Ghost. That's what this place is about. Because many of us who've been in and out of places have received Jesus before. But we've never been birthed.
Amen.
And then once we've been birthed, we've never learned how to maintain that new birth.
Amen.
Why? Because we're in the present evil world that doesn't want you to get where you're supposed to get. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further. Yeah, okay, it's cool. So we see there's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world, and the Spirit of the world is holding the natural man. Do you know that you and I, Jesus said, he told these Pharisees and whatever, he said, my father's from above, your father's from beneath. That's why you and I were born in darkness. You and I were born wicked. We didn't know what righteousness was. Anybody who said that they were righteous, we said they were self-righteous. The only thing that you and I understood was what was good and evil. Because we were under the authority of the ruler of this world. So we didn't know what righteousness was. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's see where the Holy Ghost is going to take us tonight. Thank you, Master. John chapter 4. And verse 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Ooh, let's back up a little bit. Glory to God. Start at verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears God. He who is not of God does not hear us. But by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Now who is the Spirit of truth? He's the Holy Spirit. So we understand that the ruler of this world, who is Satan, we'll get to that in a minute. The spirit of the world is known as the spirit of error. He does not want anybody to know the truth, so he is deceptive. He blinds us. We're still in this realm. Do you understand that? There are spirit-filled believers still getting blinded every single day because they've chosen to reject the counsel of the Lord, and when they reject the counsel of the Spirit, they open themselves up to the familiar spirit, or the spirit of the world, which leads them astray again. And the first thing that the devil always does is bring you to you. Me, 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 me. I. That's the first thing he does is bring you to you. Yeah, but what? That's not dead. That means your flesh is still way too alive. So we see here that we are, the ruler of this world is known as the spirit of error. He's known as the spirit of the world. That's why there's so much, I mean, come on, let's get it really, I mean, let's lay it on the table here. In the body of Christ, there would be no denominations if truly the spirit of truth was activating in all denominations. Because I know that by raising up a denomination, it would bring division. I mean, I run into people and say, hey, how you doing? And they'll say, great. I'll say, well, what faith are you? Well, I'm a Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought we're all Christians. Aren't we supposed to be Christians? Christ-like? You know, some people will die for their church, but they won't die for Jesus. They'll die for the congregation in their name of what they represent instead of representing Christ. It's called division. And that's because the spirit of error has infiltrated the body of Christ. Because if everybody was spirit-filled, we'd be all in one unity. In fact, if everybody was spirit-filled and walking in the spirit, there'd be a lot more souls saved. We wouldn't have to run into government to get money. There'd be orphanages. There'd be less children who are lost. There'd be less drug addiction and problems. But man is... Even the body of Christ and believers have touched too much of the world and become contaminated. Because the Bible says, separate yourself, come out from among them, and do not touch what is unclean. And unfortunately, much of the believers of the body of Christ are touching things that are unclean. Now, they may be clean to man, but they are unclean to God. And there's a difference. Oh, hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because we're living in a present evil world. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? But even if our gospel is veiled, now that means the message of truth. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Now you got to understand something. The word says in Hosea 4:6, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or lack of truth. So there are believers who are being destroyed with one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. And he says you can't serve two masters. They're being destroyed and taken out because they're still touching unclean things according to the eyes of God. So he says, they are perishing. In verse 4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is an image of God, should shine on them. Now, it says the God of this age. Who's the God of this age? Satan. So he's blinding people, isn't he? The verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we see that the God of this age is known as Satan, who blinds, he brings delusions of the mind, he brings false hope, he brings oppression, he brings deception, he brings lies, he brings death, all through the spirit of error. All through the spirit of error. Why? Because if he can deceive you, he can get you. That's his number one weapon, is deception. That's where he likes to bring compromise. I'm telling you, I've counseled with people or talked with them on the phone and they're having problems and the Holy Spirit is saying, man, they're fornicating. And it's like, man, don't you understand? Are you fornicating? Well, you know, I don't do it as a continuous thing. Oh, you know, I mean, just on weekends, but every Friday, every Monday, I repent. Oh, so you use drugs and you party on the weekend and you fornicate and then every Monday you repent. Yes, you're going to hell. No, I'm saved. I'm a believer. No, you're going to hell. Anyone who practices such things will not enter the kingdom of God. No, man, I've been told. Well, you've been told by the spirit of error. You've been told by the spirit of error that you're going to heaven. And because of that, you think you can go touch unclean things. But let me tell you, who you serve when you die is where you go. Well, I've never heard that before. It's because you don't have the spirit of truth. Because if you had the spirit of truth, you'd understand the word of God. And if you had the spirit of truth, you'd know who come and preaching before you, whether they're telling the truth or a lie.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to send this tape to the jail. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Ephesians 2. I'll have to make a few copies of this one to God be the glory. Ephesians 2 is just for me and you. Hallelujah. I get a lot of religious demons that come out to me and say, man, didn't you read Corinthians where it says you can't have long hair? I said, didn't you read Corinthians where it says you have to discern the things in the spirit unless you have the spirit? Foolish flesh creature. If they could just understand. Remember, without the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you won't understand the things of God.
Amen.
It'd be like going to getting a GED diploma. You go get a GED diploma because it's knowledge of the world. And we need to have certain knowledge of the world to exist in this world, don't we? But that's not going to keep us. The only one that's going to keep us is the true knowledge of Christ. In fact, the Lord tells us that the wisdom of the world is demonic. He said, but there's a wisdom that comes from heaven that's pure. You know, come on, let's think about it. The world is in nothing but progression. How much can I get? The more I have. I mean, I used to be there too. When I was in a drug world, I figured the more toys I had, the better I was. Cars, bets, this, that, whatever. Limos, whatever. Figure whoever died with the most toys would go home. Didn't know my toys weren't going with me, and I was going to hell. Until I met my daddy. And when I met my daddy, he let me know what the way was.
Amen.
And he let me know I was his son, and he was my father. And now I have a relationship. Because I was involved in religion for most of my life. And I didn't know he could be my daddy. And I could be his son. The only thing I had a picture of was Abraham Lincoln as God, sitting on the statue, going to beat me every time I did something wrong. But I didn't know him as daddy then. But when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I became his son, and he became my father. But prior to that, it was nothing but religion. I couldn't walk. I knew the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Well, a white lie. Carnal sin. You know, whatever it was. Repent later. I never knew I could have a relationship with the Creator of the universe until I was baptized in the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that takes us from the natural realm to the Spirit realm. And there are so many believers who are still walking around on this earth who've been taught by traditions of men that what was is was. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He even commanded his disciples to get baptized in the Holy Ghost before they went out and spoke anything. Because you must have power and witness, and it's by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you don't get it automatically all the time. And one of the signs of getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. Because you have power and you get a new language. That's birth. Now don't get me wrong, if you never got baptized in the Holy Ghost and you died, you'd still go to heaven as long as you were right with God. Got nothing to do with eternal. It's just God uses the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring the kingdom of God here on earth through you.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 2. Thank you. Amen. For me and you. And verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You all hear that now? See, you and I were walking in the spirit of the world, which was known as the prince of the power of air. The prince of the power of air. Has everybody got it? And the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Wow. That was me and you at one time, walking in darkness. Amen. We were children of wrath. We were under the authority of the prince of power of air, who is known as the spirit of this world, who is known as Satan. Has everybody got it? All of us. But God has called us out from darkness into his marvelous light. And under the spirit of truth instead of the spirit of air. But it doesn't mean that the spirit of error is not there. It doesn't mean that he's not going to try and deceive you and push you out of position. Because there's that fight between the spirit of error and the Holy Spirit. There's that fight between the will of man and the will of God. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Turn to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verse 14. Now we know that the serpent deceived Eve and then deceived Adam through Eve. And in verse 14 it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. That means hatred. And between your seed and her seed. So we know that there would be seeds coming. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now I want to share something with you. I want you to underline the word head. And he shall bruise your head. The word head here represents authority. Because Satan is the head of this world. He is the ruler of this world. But he said he will bruise your head. He didn't say he would remove your head. He said he would bruise your head. And Jesus did that on the cross when he disarmed the powers of darkness to those who came underneath Jesus' authority. But he did not remove Satan from ruler of this world, did he? So Satan is still ruler of this world. This is where he was talking about. The Lord had already allowed us to know through this scripture that Satan would be the head or the ruler of this world, but God would send his seed to bruise him, but not remove him. Amen? And being the head of this world, he is the head of the government. He is the head of the economy. And he is the head of the religious organization. He's the head. He rules it all. That's why there's such a fight. You know, that even in the years and what they call the dark ages, if you were spirit-filled, you prayed in tongues, cast out a devil, they said you were a devil. They burned you at the stake. There was no respect for man. I mean, look at God killed man, right, the one time. Amen? Through the flood. Because man was exalting himself. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to build his own new civilization without God. Does everybody got it? That's what he's trying to do. He's been trying to do that from the beginning. That's why he sent his angels into the earth that went into women. And they had offsprings. And he brought down knowledge. I mean, who do you think? I mean, you know, Satan's not stupid. It says he was full of wisdom, beauty, and so forth. He was the most anointed cherub God ever created. He was God's right-hand man. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. And you can read that in Isaiah. So, he's not dumb. He's been around a long time. In fact, he ruled the earth one time already and God removed him. And he put his throne room in hell. In fact, hell was created for Satan and his angels. It wasn't created for man, but since man wanted to act like Satan's servants, they're going there too. So we're involved in the fighting of the will of man and the will of God. We're involved in the fighting of the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And that fight is even in the body of Christ in a great way. You know, I've never seen so much garbage. I mean, you know, when I was out in the world, there was a lot of garbage. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of garbage in the body of Christ. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of error. There's a lot of granolas, nutty and fruity. People saying this about God and that about God, and they ain't heard a thing. And there are those who just believe that they can walk in sin and go home. So there's a lot of deception, and it's known as the spirit of error. That's why it's so important about getting in the Spirit, so that we can have a relationship and fellowship with the Spirit of truth. But we must understand, that's why things are getting worse. You know, they're talking about promoting faith-based ministries. But then they just took all the money away. They said they won't support any religious organizations. Well, what do you think a faith-based ministry is? You know, the government makes many promises, but the only thing the government wants to do is to put people in the bondage to trust in them. That's why the welfare and all the other stuff is so huge. Look at the problem that we're having even in the government of the Republican and the Democrat. I mean, there's a war going in there. It's like a spirit of error and a spirit of truth. Look at this organization. What is it, the ACLU? Or yeah, American Civil Liberties Union. I mean, 40 years ago, those people would have been imprisoned and thrown out of this country for being communists, for coming against the flag and everything else. But you know what? The spirit of error has taken control of the judges that are now servants of Satan, and they don't even know it. They think that they're doing the right thing, but they're not. I mean, come on, the world has gotten to a place where let's save the planet and let the human die. Man, far be it that we should eat that whale and starve to death. No, I'm not one that eats flesh anyway, so it don't matter to me. I'm not a flesh eater. But I like Leah. I'm unleaded. So anyway, I'm a protein drinker. I get my protein from soy. But anyways, praise be to God. But you know, I mean, I'm not for all the poaching and all the other stuff. I think that's cruel. But I know that you got a fish to eat and so forth. You know, and there's cattle and so forth for man to eat. But, you know, when they start worshiping animals and trying to protect animals and let children and people starve to death, amen, that's ridiculous. Amen. Well, let's save the cow, you know. Pretty soon they're going to try and save the chicken. What's this world going to come to? Hallelujah. You know, people are losing their land that they've purchased and sweat over. And their land is being taken away by the government because there's a flea out there that needs to be preserved. I mean, it's ridiculous. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John 3. Praise God. Now, I'm not against the government. I'm against the deception and the evil. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That means you have a part, don't you? The word might means choice. Now Jesus disarmed the powers of darkness, but you have a choice in walking the anointing of the Spirit of God in freedom. You have a choice in fellowshipping with the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. And that choice is your choice every single day in every decision and everything you do. You will either fall under the spirit of the world or the spirit of Christ in everything you do. And if you stay under the spirit of the world or the spirit of error long enough, he'll put you right out of position and eat you up and then spit you out. And verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You notice that we talked about the seed known as Christ has been placed in us and it's been birthed, hasn't it? Amen? So we see that there's, let's go to verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So we see that there's two classes of people. There's children of God and there's children of the devil. And we can fall in that category anytime we want. One day you can be God's child, the next day you can be the child of the devil. That's our choice, isn't it? God does not force us, does he? But we want to walk in the Spirit so we can maintain being a child of God and not becoming a child of the devil. Because the child of the devil is in error. He's in error. Has everybody got it? He's in error. You know, we'll go there later. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Let's go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17 and verse 1. And we've talked about the children of the devil and Satan enough. Children of wrath. Exodus 17 and verse 1. Let's read this together. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped in Rediman, but there was no water for the people to drink. Now, let me share something with you. They were just in bondage for 400 years under the rule of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Lord sent Moses to rescue them. They just come out of the wilderness of sin. They're on this journey. And they're still grumbling and complaining. But it's just like the Lord brought me and you out of darkness into light. The same thing as what he brought out the Israelites from the bondage of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is known as or represents Satan in his kingdom. Now there was nothing to drink. In verse 2. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? And why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So here they're complaining, aren't they? Why did you take, you know, there's a lot of believers who complain right now. They're complaining. You know what they're complaining? Man, why did I follow Jesus? My life was better before. I had all of this material. I could lust all I want. I could do all of these things. I could do my own will, which was the will of man. I can do all these things. I didn't have to be responsible for the things of God anymore. I can do whatever I want. Why did I come out of darkness into light? They don't realize they're still in darkness. They're complaining, but they're still in darkness. And that's what they were doing. They were complaining, oh, Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt to send us in this wilderness to thirst to death? Now, they just saw all things God did, didn't they? They saw him part the Red Sea. Fire came down. I mean, all kinds of stuff. You know what they're doing? Like, the Lord can't feed them. I mean, they've been getting manna already, right? Now, he can't give them water. In verse 4, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. Poor Moses. Man, what a church. He was a pastor of about 4 million people or something like that. That must have been rough. Praise God. I wonder why he glowed, you know? He needed to get in God's presence. In verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now that's powerful. So we see here that this rock that Moses was going to be led to, he was going to strike it, and water was going to flow out of it. Amen? It was representation in how God was going to take man out of darkness into the wilderness and strike Jesus, who was going to pour out his spirit for me and you to drink. It was the same thing. Because Jesus is known as the rock, isn't he? See, Jesus had to be struck so that you and I could thirst, so that we could get water. Water represents the Holy Spirit here. Because he said they'll die without it. Okay, so the rock that Moses struck was actually prophetic of what was about to happen. Now go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. This present evil world, we're still in it, brothers and sisters, and we can't lose sight. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, he was recognizing and quickening them to a personal relationship. He wasn't concerned what man was saying. He was concerned what each individual says who he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and what? On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, this rock was not the Pope, or some people think. Peter was not the first Pope. He wasn't Pope Peter, the first. He was disciple Peter. And then he became an apostle. But not a pope. And the rock was a representation that, here's the revelation. I'm going to build my church on this rock. That rock was the same rock that Moses struck, where the Spirit came out. Where the water came out. Does everybody understand it? That is the same rock that Jesus was known as, the rock that was struck and he poured out his Spirit. He was going to build his church by his Spirit and not by his letter. Because if the church was truly built by the Spirit, if everyone allowed the Spirit to build the church, we'd be moving in unity. But there are those who are believers that are allowing the letter be building of the church and not the Spirit. And there's a difference. That means they do not have the foundation. Because Jesus said, my words, if you believe my words and so forth, that's like building a house, isn't it? Well, see, you got to have a foundation to build a house, and the foundation is the Holy Ghost. Then you can build your house on the Spirit. Then the words, the letters, are known as living blocks, living stones. That's what's building the house. But it's all maintained by the Spirit of God. He says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And then he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's a power and authority. And that's the kingdom of God being manifest in an individual by the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so we see here that Jesus was to be struck and pour out his Spirit. Now go to Matthew 27. Oh, hallelujah. Now we've got to look at this again, because we're living in this present evil world as the fight is still continuing on right now as for the will of man and the will of God. In fact, that fight still fights in you, in me, every day. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit that He, when you have a desire or something starts going to the will of God, if you're listening, He says, He elbows you. He says, hey, you're heading the wrong way. And walk this way. And you go, okay, no problem. You'll get a sick feeling sometimes. Whatever it is, I don't care how He does it. He's having a relationship with you, and you know His ways, His symbols, His signs, His character. Whether it be His voice or His unction. But if we go back, we see that God has always been trying to rule over His people. And they've rejected Him. It's been the will of man. It happened right in the garden. The will of man was chosen. And then God had to kill His people because of so much evil. Right? And then Jesus came. And it was the will of man again. And it's the big fight of the will of man. And we'll talk a couple things about here. So Matthew 27 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at the time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? You know, Pilate was making all these confessions on who he is. For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy, not because he did anything wrong. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. So God allowed Pilate to know. Actually, God was making a way of escape for Pilate. Because Pilate didn't really want to do it, even though he was a wicked man. But he didn't want to do it. In fact, the Lord did make a way of escape for Pilate because he washed his hands from it. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now, these were the chief priests who made a vow, thou shalt not kill. In fact, we talked about this before, that they did not believe in crucifixion. They believed in hanging and not crucifying anyone. It was against their belief. And the governor answered, and he said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they answered and said to him, let him be crucified. Now, that was against their belief. Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And exactly that's what happened. That's why there was the Holocaust. That's why all of these things, it's known as Jacob's trouble. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So here it was, God was trying to reign over his people, and they chose the will of man instead of the will of God. And actually, it was the third time that this happened. It happened in the garden. It happened when the Lord was going to rule over them, and they wanted a king. Let's go there. 1 Samuel 8. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Praise God. In verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old and your sons did not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.'" Now they wanted someone to rule over them like the rest of the world. And everyone was ruling over them and the rest of the world by Satan. The Israelites were being ruled by God, and they were getting ready to choose the will of man and reject the will of God. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have rejected you." But they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He'll appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some will make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." Here Samuel was telling them what was going to happen to their people. "And he will take your daughters to be performers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, 'No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.' And Samuel heard the words of the people, and he pleaded them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, 'Hear their voice,
and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. So here again we saw that God's people rejected the will of God and accepted the will of man. Now you know, right now we have a president in office that is the will of God. There was a great fight that was going on between the will of man and the will of God. But the will of God is in office right now. And that's why it's so important to pray for him and his counsel. He is the will of God right now. And we hope, and he should get and maintain that office again. My hope is he's our last president before we go home. Hallelujah. So we see here that man has rejected the Lord to reign over them. And you and I can still choose that every single day. One day we can accept his reign, the next day we can reject him. The longer we reject his reign over us, the more open we are to demonic activity. Eventually, the demons will push you out of position. Hallelujah. So the will of man is actually the will of Satan. Does everybody understand that? Go to Daniel 12. In this present evil world. Daniel chapter 12. One of the powerful verses is right in chapter 12 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Now Daniel got the revelation of a prophecy of things to come. And he said in verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Let me tell you something. Knowledge has increased phenomenally. I mean, you talk about in the last 20 years. Whoa! In the last 5 years. I mean, computers are outdated every year now. You know, you got to update them every year now compared to what they used to. Knowledge will increase. Now, the reason for this, the Lord was warning, knowledge is going to increase. Glorification of man is going to increase. Glorification of man is going to increase. He's going to increase in cloning, communication, finance, scientific discoveries, and many theories. Many destructive weapons. This is all part of knowledge increasing, isn't it? Right now, man can actually destroy himself, can't he? But all of this knowledge, and even in sicknesses, and so all of this is a representation of rescue of the flesh and glorification of the flesh. And knowledge will increase. Now we know that godly knowledge had to increase to maintain and upkeep because of the knowledge of the world that's increasing. We had to get more wisdom to sustain right now, don't we? Amen. Now God is pouring out His Spirit more and more too, isn't He? So that you and I can maintain. He's given us more revelation knowledge. He's given us impartations and dreams and visions and so forth. The Spirit of truth tells us things to come if we're walking in the Spirit. But knowledge is increasing greatly because of glorification of man, because we are in a present evil world, which the main purpose is me, 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 and I. Look what I've done. You know, people envy one another because of how wealthy someone is. People envy or are jealous of this and that and whatever. That's worldliness. That's flesh. And that's all that's happening right now, is puffing up of flesh in the world. Knowledge is increasing to glorify God and create a new civilization glorify man to create a new civilization without God. And that's exactly what's happening. The medical field is getting more knowledgeable. They're able to cure more diseases than they ever have. And there's a lot more money. I mean, people are putting into what they call charitable contributions into helping to fight cancer. So what they're trying to do is sustain the flesh. UNICEF and this way and that way. I don't know. And all these other things. People are giving a lot of money to these places. I hear people on TV saying,
Yes, my father died of cancer, and I've given the whole estate to Cancer Society. That didn't increase the kingdom of God, did it? And they think they're doing a good thing because they're promoting medical technology. That's not increasing the kingdom of God. It is glorifying man. Amen? It's glorifying man. I mean, I thank God for the knowledge that has been given us for... But let me tell you something. Believers are so... there are believers that are putting more money into saving fleas and cancer instead of giving to the kingdom of God. Because it's the spirit and soul that's the most important thing. Far be it that somebody should die healthy and go to hell. Yes, he was healthy, he lived a long life. Yeah, and he went to hell. Wonderful. He had a great life. It's temporary. It's what you see is temporary, but what you don't see is eternal. Oh, we ain't going to let the devil build a new civilization without God. Come on, they're taking God out of the schools. They're taking him out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They're taking him the Ten Commandments out of everywhere. Why? Why is the government allowing this? Because they are under the ruler of Satan in this present evil world. And they're allowing it. They promote programs to bring people into bondage, to depend on them. And they make false statements of how they're going to employ the American people. That's a lie. Things aren't going to get better, my brothers and sisters. They're going to get worse. Praise God. The Lord says, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. It's supernatural what's going to happen with me and you. It's not going to be natural. It's going to be supernatural. But we got to stay in the supernatural to get it. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Let's read this together. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That's all they're out for, is self-gain. The government is out for self-gain. Hallelujah. Self-gain. Now look at, let's go on. Verse 6. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible people, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Wow. They're always learning. What are they doing? Not increasing of knowledge, but can't walk the truth. And such people stay away. They have a form of religion. In 2 Thessalonians 2. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. This present evil world run by the spirit of error, Satan, prince of power of error. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. Now, who's restraining him? The body of Christ, the Holy Spirit. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, you notice it says he, who's capital? He who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's known as the body of Christ. So when you and I are removed from the earth, Satan will have all reign. Full reign. He'll be able to unleash all of his evil. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So God's going to allow it to happen, isn't he? And Titus 3, no, let's go to verse 14. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's go on. In verse 13. But we who are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen. There is the body of Christ, and there is the body of the Antichrist. The body of the Antichrist is an organization. The body of Christ is an organism. There's two different things. The body of the Antichrist is an organization. And the body of the Antichrist is an organization, and the body of Christ is an organism. And that's what we are. We are living. Because what is the body of the Antichrist? It's a representation of prosper, of the world. That's a representation of government. Does everybody hear me? It's a representation of exaltation of man, business, organizations. Look at all the big business that's going on in the world. Why do you think the Lord allowed the trade towers to come down? Because those were known as the World Trade Towers. That was known as Babylon in the eyes of God. And he allowed them to come down as a warning to this country. It's prophetic. I think it's in Zechariah about the towers. But he allowed it to come down. It was a warning. And the warnings are not done. That's why we must continue to fight and pray in the will of God, not the will of man. Because this country is still not out of its safety zone yet. The only thing that's protecting this country is Jesus and the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Hallelujah. In verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. God be the glory. Is everybody there? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. That means the believer is going to walk away from the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of what?
Demons.
You know how many believers it's already happened to? But thank God they didn't die. They come back to the Lord. But they have fallen from the faith. There are many believers that are out there right now choosing to serve Satan, falling from the faith. And tomorrow morning they're going to regret it. Some of them will wake up in hell. Some of them will wake up with a hangover. speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. In verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. What is that gift? The Holy Spirit, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that you progress, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Titus 3. In verse 3. Let's read this together. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise be to God. Now let's close in the book of Revelation 21. Remember, we're not an organization, we're an organism. Hallelujah, we're a living organism. We must say no to the spirit of error and the will of man. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 8. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Now go to Revelation 22. Hallelujah. In verse 10. And then he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow... Oh, that's verse 9. Let's go to verse 10. And he said to me, Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who was unjust, let him be unjust still. He who was filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Blessed are those who do his will, his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and the sorcerers and sexual immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Now you notice that he made two stipulations here. He said those who overcome are inside and those who didn't are outside. The body of Christ is a representation of those who are inside and those who are outside is a representation of who are under the spirit of the world. Does everybody got it? Listen, we're living in the present evil time right now. This world is evil. It's going to stay evil until Jesus touches his feet on this earth and things change. We must not get swayed by the spirit of error nor the spirit of man, but stay in walking in the spirit of truth that we can walk in freedom, make right decisions, bring glory to God, and expand his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that the seed of this word tonight will be imparted in us, that you would increase our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment to do the will of you, Lord, and not the will of us. Lord, bring revelation to us about the spirit of this world and the spirit of error, that the Holy Spirit may dwell in us and reign in mind, will, emotions, and desires, that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power on a rescue mission sent from your throne room in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.